Welcome, guys. And we've been on a journey through Ephesians. And Ephesians is a book of unity. And there's just so many topics that we've discussed. I mean, unity in Christ, unity with each other, unity in the Spirit, unity in God's purpose. And today we have the interesting topic of being unified in marriage. From here to the end of the Ephesians chapters, or the Ephesians book, I think we're ending in 6. Is a couple of house rules that we're going to be looking at. And it's along the lines of wives and husbands. It's along the lines of kids and parents. It's along the lines of slaves and masters and all those. And towards the end, the last chapter of the book is that famous putting on the full armor of God story that we will get to in a little while. So the emphasis today is on Christian submission. And I want to emphasize Christian submission, because there's a lot of taboo around submission out there in the world. Even in our circles, in Christian circles, this is a taboo subject. Submission has been touted as being a bad S word. It's a bad S word. It's submission. It causes turbulence all over the world. All you need to do is look at all the American TV programs and even our own TV programs and see how people are kicking against submission. I will not submit to you, Mr. Trump, or I will not do what you say, Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, and so the factions start. And there's chaos all over the world because of submission. And sadly for me, the submission of the world has crept into the church and crept into our lives. And it's sad to see, because you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. The problem with submission is the little prefix that goes in front of it. It's called submission. And when you think of sub, what do you think of? Submarine, under, oppressed, down, a negative kind of connotation, below. You are less worthy if you are sub. And there's this horrible word that goes around about being secondary, or in certain circles, being an auxiliary, right? it makes it awkward. Submission makes it sometimes awkward and sometimes repulsive in certain sectors of the marketplace. It doesn't have to be that way, guys. It doesn't have to be. And where do we go and find? And one of the texts, and the beautiful text that we're going to stretch through today, is in Ephesians, because that's the book that we're in. Biblically, one of the strongest places that we see submission in process or outworking is where? On that bloodied cross. Jesus submitting to his Father in all, got to the end of himself, and there was in Luke 22 where he says the following, and leading up to that event of being crucified on the cross, he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." And for me, that's such a profound statement. And if I could give this preach a title, it would be, "Not my will, but your will be done." And imagine that statement in context of a marriage, and two people in a Christian marriage. Not my will, love, but your will be done. Not your will, but my will. No, that's the wrong way around. I'm just checking. And this should be the driving impulse, the driving rhythm of Christian marriage, is that same thing. We see where in real world children imitate their parents. And how awesome would it be for us to imitate our Father as his children in this thing called submission as well. Nice little story around that. I think it's reasonable to expect. I read somewhere where it says that your willingness to submit is a result of how filled you are with the Spirit. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Alarm bells, ding dong, things go off there. What's the opposite of submission? Dominance, oppression, dominating over others, exalting yourself over someone else, lording yourself over them, looking down on people. That's not the heart of God. That's not what Jesus did. That's not that bloody cross. That's not what that story is all about at all. It is about submission. So a nice example for me of submission was I spent 2 years of my life in the military. And the whole context of army is a place of worldly submission, isn't it? You've got rank, you've got profile, you've got different corps, you've got the Air Force, and you've got the Navy, and the army and the foot soldiers, and I was the sapper, and we were one of those guys that went looking for mines, you know, it's like, and by the grace of God, here we are today. And so I was the sapper, and it was just mentioned in the prayer meeting by Paul, I think it was, you know. So Leash and I have been on a journey. It's the second marriages for both of us. We have stories, we have past, we have histories, and we've taken slogs, man. You know, we've been beaten around. And in the prayer meeting, it was just so wonderful what you said, Paul, and I just wanted to say about having stripes. We've got stripes in our life, don't we all? We've been beaten by the world. Those of you that are divorced and been through those horrible kind of situations, and life just beats you. But you know what? You've got sergeant stripes. They mean something. They mean something, and it's not all in vain, because here you can stand years later and tell people about the goodness of God in those situations when you were going through those army kind of scenarios. I love this. So, not my will, but your will be done. That was my title for today's preach. However, I found this definition by John Piper, which just spoke to my heart. The divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and to help carry it through according to her gifts. Not fella, carry it through. I'm going to read that again. A divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and to help carry it through according to her gifts. And that spoke volumes to me. We'll onboard that as we go along. So there's order in this world that we live in. And I just love that text. The authority and submission to authority is everywhere. If you go and read Romans 13:1, and there's a whole lot of examples, biblical examples of where there is a hierarchy, where there's an order in the universe of submission. God over man, we submit to God. Man over nature, husbands to wives, children to parents, etc., etc. So this is not a new thing. Submission isn't a new thing, but it's become a dirty thing. It's become a horrible S-word thing. And hopefully today, we can change your perspective on that a little. It was so bad in days of yore, where you had some pious Jewish kind of people back in the day that saw women as secondary citizens. How horrible. And they applied limited gifts or limited rights to the woman in their environment. And they even prayed the following prayer when they woke up in the morning. Thank you, God, that you did not make me a woman. And this is going to go down well in the world today, right? You think? Wow. Terrible, hey? Thank you, God, that you did not make me a woman. Thank you, God, that you made me a man. And thank you for my woman. Thank you for my woman. So, the world's gone nuts. This is a hot topic. And Leisha and I are going to proceed with caution in trying to bring about the heart of God as He has it for marriages and submission. And I want to put the emphasis on the right syllable. It's for Christian marriages. Christian marriages. There's a nice story before I bring Leisha up. There was a preacher that was preaching on submission. And he was doing his thing up front. And in those days, the preacher used to go and stand at the door and wish everyone goodbye, thank you for coming, and all that kind of stuff. And this large woman came up to him, and she was steaming, man. She was huffing and puffing. She said, I did not appreciate your preach this morning on submission. And you know what? If you were my husband, I'd poison your coffee. He looked at her and he said, ma'am, if you were my wife, I'd drink it. So on that note, and hopefully my wife's not going to poison me after this, I'm going to ask Leisha to come up. You know, we have this old adage of ladies first as we unpack. So that was just a little preamble. So Leisha's now going to take us through what Bible says around submission, speaking to the wives, the ladies. Starte my skat.
Right. I don't know if any of you have ever suffered or struggled with the imposter syndrome, that feeling of, yeah, Paulie, we've had this conversation. That is how I'm feeling here this morning. I feel like I am an imposter trying to speak on a subject that I have done so badly this last week. Yeah, it's been that bad. The prep for this preach has been, it's been a little bit of a crazy ride. So when we were first given the option to put up our hand for this, Bruce put his hand up for this preach all on his own. And I was kind of like, okay, I can't wait to see this go down. Not that I thought that he would fail at all, but I was really quite certain that he would suffer through it. Or maybe I was hoping that he would suffer through it. But also, if I'm really honest, I wanted him to learn something. So I thought, okay, cool, you go and learn something. God has got something to teach you in this. And then the next minute, we looked at the preaching roster, and Gary had slipped my name in there. And he kind of said to us, guys, I think maybe you should tackle this one as a couple. So then I panicked. And I thought, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? So first of all, I panicked, and then I started thinking about it, and I thought, you know what, Leesh, you've got something to learn in this area too. And the reason I knew that is that every single time that word submission comes up, it literally creates something on the inside of who I am. I don't know where it is, Evan. It's in my stomach, or it's in my heart, or things start palpitating. I don't know what it is, but that word submission is just... Something happens to us, ladies. I'm sure there's some of us that can agree with that. I get Kerry nodding. Thank you, Kerry. Yours scrolls a different direction to mine. I remember one time this topic came up between Bruce and I. And it must have been in winter because we were having a romantic little bath. I'd lit in some candles and... Just by the way, as a side note, if any of you ladies have really busy husbands, this is a great idea. First of all, they can't bring their phone very easily into the bathroom. And secondly, you have them contained for a period of time. It really works well, and conversation flows. You actually get his undivided attention for a period of time. So try it sometime. Anyway, this particular evening, we were having a lovely romantic bath together, and the subject of submission came up. And it didn't end up as romantic as we thought that evening. I remember getting out of the bath and barely drying myself. I was so mad, putting my pajamas on and getting really cross because my pajamas were half wet because I didn't dry myself. And I was just getting more and more mad about this topic. And that's what happens. Why is it that we get so caught up with this topic of submission? And that particular evening, I thought to myself, why is it that I have to submit to somebody who is so imperfect? Sorry, love. And ladies, I can imagine that you can agree with me. Having to submit to an imperfect being is the most difficult thing in the world, and yet God has called us to do that. And you know what? This is the one little secret that I think I've discovered, and this isn't in my notes, but the one little secret that I've discovered in prepping for this is that I think that God has asked this of women, specifically in the scriptures, because we know our husbands so intimately. We are the only ones that know them so intimately that we know how truly imperfect they are. And that is why God is asking us to submit. As we, as a body, submit to Christ, the body of the church. I want to remind you of a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. It says, love suffers long and is kind. And verse 7 says, love bears all, believes all things, and endures all things. Ladies, you chose this man that you're with. You chose him because you loved him. And if that wasn't the case, you wouldn't have married him. Remind yourself of these scriptures, especially when times are tough. Love endures all. Harmony with our spouses is based on a key component. Wait for it. It's submission. This does make it a dangerous preach for Bruce and I. Today, these sentiments are not necessarily appreciated by us ladies. I'm sure you can agree. The other morning, I went for a walk with George and Coles around the block. And I'd already chatted to Geordie a little bit previous on in the week where I said to her, what does submission mean to you? And she has the most incredible nuggets that God has been working in her life. And no, she's not married. You're not married yet. But maybe George and Dale, just stand here for a minute to make it personal for people who don't know who you are. This is my eldest daughter, Jordy, and she's been dating Dale. And the most beautiful thing Jordy taught me in this past week was she said to me, you know what, Mom, and I know they're still in this beautiful lovey-dovey stage and some of us haven't been there for a while, but she said to me, she said to me, you know what, Mom, I get to choose to submit to Dale and I get to choose to trust Dale when I submit to him. I get to trust that in building a relationship with Dale, that he gets to make the best decisions for me in our relationship. And they're not even married yet. And then she went on to say, this is my training ground. It's amazing that God has given us this foundation of love in him and that I can choose to trust Dale because I know he's got my best intention at heart. Dale, I have the mic. I am the mom. This means that you have one exceptional young lady by your side. And that also means that you have to lay down your life for Jordy as Christ laid his life down for us. That makes it pretty personal when you see them standing up in front. Thank you. Then I have my second daughter, Carly, who unfortunately isn't here today. And Seb, you're just as lucky to have this lady by your side. She's my feisty one. So we're walking along, and I said to her, so Carly, you tell me what submission means to you. And she paints this picture. She says, Mom, you know when two dogs meet each other for the first time, and the one dog lies on his back, paws in the air, in submission to the alpha dog? She says, that's all I see when you say that word submission. Ouch. She said, why is it that I have to submit to a man that will dominate over me? Good luck, Seb. But it's true, isn't it? Society has taught us that submission is such a dirty word. And from the Garden of Eden, the enemy has stepped in and has distracted and distorted and made this thing of submission and headship completely ugly. The enemy has taken something that was meant for good, twisted it and ruined it and distorted it, and he has made headship and submission ugly and destructive. How I pray that the message that we can get across to, and in the beginning I thought just to our women, but no, it's to our young women and our men and our old women and our old men. But how I pray that the message that we can get across is that we serve a good, good, good God. And if we serve such a good God, then how is it that in the Bible he would have put anything in there that is destructive or bad for us or unhealthy for us? Surely that rule of submission and love, submission and headship, has to be good for us. It has to be there for a reason. It has to be healthy for us because our God is good. And he would not intend for us to struggle. Well, maybe the struggle part is part of learning to grow close to him. But it's not a bad thing. And God would not put something in there that was bad and unhealthy for us. God has put a structure or a rule in place for our protection as wives. Not as a way to keep us suppressed or under any kind of oppression. Not to keep us in a position of surrender and to our husbands, like that picture of the dogs, right? The shift in our hearts and our heads, ladies, needs to come in where the concept of surrendering and submitting as women is actually first and foremost to God's leadership over our lives. If we lean into God's leadership into our life, it means we surrender, we desire and want to give up our rights, and we agree to a life of submission, first and foremost unto God. That is what God is asking. I submit to God's will for my life, even when it's not what I want. And if I can submit to God first and foremost, then I can place my trust in God. And I can place my trust in the fact that God will lead Bruce. And Bruce will lead me well. And as such, I can and I will submit. So while it's trying to make that shift in our minds, that it's about our submission to Christ first and foremost, we look at a way in which the scriptures speak about marriage, and we see that it actually can be profoundly simple. We've made it complicated. Wives, submit to your husbands. That's it. That's the way God has intended for marriage to work. Submit to your husband, even as you submit to the Lord. However, let's have a little bit of a look as to what submission is not. Submission is not putting the will of the husband in front of the will of the Lord. Woman, you will always, always choose the Lord first. Don't ever follow your husband if he's leading you down a road of sin. That is not what God intends for you. You never have to follow your husband if there is any abuse or verbal, emotional, physical abuse. Never, ever. That is not what God has intended for you. Submission is not putting the will of your husband in front of the will of the Lord. And the closer you are to God, I loved what Bruce said just now, but the closer that you are to God and you allowing the Spirit of God to work within you, the clearer that will be for you. You will know. You will know if there's anything that is off in terms of submitting to your husband or if he's leading you down the path that is not God's will. Paul is also not saying that women are subject to all men. This is not men in general, and Bruce touched on this. This is only to your own husband. The world has tried to get us to believe that women are less than, and the world wants us to feel less than and oppressed, and that men dominate over us. But no, that is not what Paul is saying here. This is unto our own husbands. He's also not saying that women are inferior to men. Ladies, God has made us, each one of us as individuals, with incredible gifting, with incredible strengths. And actually, there are times when we lead our husbands because of our strengths. And because our husbands trust us and they love us, they trust in what it is that we are flourishing in. So there are areas in which we can lead because we may be stronger than they are. But ultimately, we are looking to them for protection and leadership. By submitting, you are not losing your identity. I had a picture of us all becoming little clones of our husbands when I read this. Can you imagine? We were all these little clones. I'm a little Bruce. Oh my goodness. We don't lose our identity as we get married. No, not at all. If anything, our identity should be even stronger in the place of marriage because we look to each other to be able to build a marriage of strength together in what God has called us to. I think women often fear submission will lead to abuse or feeling used. Like that illustration that Carly used of the dogs. It feels like that, and you fear that when you think about submitting. But submission does not mean getting your spiritual strength from your husband. Again, ladies, this is your time to shine. You have a reason to grow in your own spiritual gifting. You have a reason to grow closer to God in your own esteem. You don't need to wait for your husband for that to happen. Not at all. You can grow closer to God. And yes, sometimes, as I said earlier, it does mean you leading your husband in the areas of your strength. Verse 23 says, "For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body." Remember, this is a metaphor. The whole way through this passage, it talks about the metaphor of us submitting to our husbands the way that the church submits to Christ, and Christ being the head of his body, the church, the head of his bride. And it's a metaphor, so that's what we have to keep thinking about because that's how God's trying to teach us. So again, John Piper, and I'm using the same quote that Bruce did earlier on, except he only told us about the submission part. He has the headship part. Headship is the divine calling. Isn't that beautiful? The divine calling of a husband to take primary responsibility for Christ-like servant leadership, protection, and provision in the home. Submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. I love that. I love that he calls it a divine calling. You know, even now in Ephesians, we've been talking about what are our prophetic gifts or what are our spiritual gifts. And what is our calling in life? What is our purpose? And yet John Piper here says that it is a divine calling to submit to your husband. It is a divine calling to be head of your wife and to love your wife. That kind of gives it a different flavor, doesn't it? That I'm actually called to be able to do this in relationship with my husband. He goes on to explain the headship is not a right to command and control. It's actually a responsibility to love like Christ. And the term head can carry the meaning of source, like a fountainhead. Not necessarily as in leadership, but as a fountainhead, or even as the source of a river. What does a body get from the head? Let's think about it. It gets nourishment. And why? Even in verse 29, it talks about everybody loves their own body. They're not going to let their own body starve. They will feed their own body because they love their own body so much. That is a source of nourishment. In the head, we have a mouth. And so that is what the head offers the body, nourishment through the mouth. What else is there? There's guidance, because the head has got eyes. And so the head of the body offers guidance. Remember, it's a metaphor between Christ and the church and husband and wife. And what else is there? There's also alertness and protection because the ears are in the head. So the head of the body protects, nourishes, guides. And I know some of you are now thinking, yeah, but the brain is in the head. So I'm ahead of you. Excuse the pun. And you're probably saying, oh, does that mean only the man has got the brains? No, ladies, absolutely not. Think about it. Christ heads up the church, and we are not all sitting here as brainless human beings. When I was thinking about that, I thought sometimes Jesus might be thinking, flip, I wish they were brainless because they give me such a hard time squabbling and carrying on and having opinions of their own. We've got opinions of our own. We have a voice. Doesn't mean that the man is the only one that carries the brain. But he is there to nourish, he is there to guide, he is there to protect. In other words, if the husband as head is one flesh with his wife, his body, and if he is therefore her source of guidance and food and alertness, nourishment, then the natural conclusion is that the head, the husband, has primary responsibility for leadership and provision and protection. In other words, he should want his bride to flourish. He should want to keep his bride healthy and at her very best, just like Christ would want his bride, the church, us, to flourish. As you know, I have two beautiful daughters. I also have two beautiful stepdaughters, and I have three beautiful grandchildren. And I know that those girls are, they're strong, they're independent, they're amazing. Even the little ones are growing up to be feisty, and I love it. But I also know that they are watching me. They are looking at me as an example of love and submission to Bruce. Sometimes even judging me, I'm pretty sure. So I'm realizing more and more that this is a huge responsibility for me to be able to love Bruce and submit to Bruce because I have all these eyes watching me and just in my immediate family. But what I also have come to realize is that Bruce and I are doing this together. It's not me on my own. And I know that as much as they are watching me to see how it is that I'm loving submitting to Bruce, they're watching to see how he is loving me. So when Bruce was talking about submission, the other way to look at it is sub. Yes, sub is under, but a mission is like an assignment. And Bruce and I, the scripture started in the beginning where it said submitting to one another in the fear of God. Bruce and I are under an assignment together. The submission is between both of us. We're on a mission to grow our marriage in a way that we honor and respect each other together. We're on a mission or assignment together to teach our family to be kind and loving and generous. We have a mission as leaders to position others to go further and farther than we have ever been or could ever go. We are under the authority of God to build people up. Submission. We are under assignment. And we can only become better together. Yes, we're amazing individuals on our own. But together, as we are under a submission, we are able to become better together. I have a quick story of submission that's happened more recently in our lives. And some of you will have remembered the big panel van that Bruce was driving around. So let me tell you the real story around that big panel van. Bruce, we were talking about trading in this car, and I was, from the very beginning, I was feeling like this van was not the way to go, and I didn't have a piece about it, and I couldn't really tell you why, but there was something about it that I said to him, I don't think we need to do this. I think we need to wait. There's something else out there. And Bruce was adamant. He just thought that this car was going to be everything that he needed. It would fit his paramotor. It would fit all of his flying gear, parachutes. It would fit his music equipment. It would fit, remember in the beginning I talked about the busy husband and the bath? That's my husband. And it could fit absolutely everything and get him to where he needed to go without having to swap cars or pack things in and out. And anyway, I wasn't feeling it. And he decided, no, this is what I need, and this is what I'm going to get. And I went, okay. Anyway, so the van was parked in the driveway and failed its first test because as he tried to put his paramotor in the back of the van, it didn't fit at all. So it's brand new. He hasn't even taken it for a decent ride yet, and the paramotor doesn't fit. So he's going, oh, cook. There were some words that came out of his mouth that I won't repeat, but this thing wasn't fitting, and no matter what he did, angle it this way, push it this way, pull it a little bit to pieces that way, it wasn't going to fit, not at all. Within about the first month, because of all of its fancy body kits, I mean, it was cool looking, I have to admit, but because of all the fancy body kits and it was so low to the ground, he kept bumping curbs and knocking rocks, and this thing was more in the panel beaters getting fixed than what it was at home for him to drive. And this, it is a true story. Do you know how often I wanted to say, told you so, wanted to say, do you remember that I didn't think that this was a good idea? And every time he drove it off to the panel beaters and he had to drive the old combi again because he didn't have his car. To the point, guys, that he had just sold it and that very next day he reversed it into Carmen's car. So even now, when it was sold, he still had to go and pay another 25,000 rand or whatever it was at the time to have it repaired yet again before the new owners could take it over. What am I trying to say? Besides that, I told you so. The reason I'm telling this story is less about the fact that Bruce didn't listen to me and more about the fact that I could release the decision to God that he had made. I didn't need to rub it in his face that he should have listened to me. And instead of holding on to anger, because I can do that, I hate to admit, especially when he doesn't consider my opinions on things, I trusted God to do the work in teaching and repairing the situation. In not submitting to Bruce in this instance would have been like saying, I don't trust God in the bigger scheme of things. Submission should result in receiving and not giving away. Receive from God, you build your relationship with God, and you trust God that Bruce or your husband will lead you well. Love, so you can come up. I was trying to find a good story to end off my section of the preach, and so I Googled some tips to help make submission easier. And Google took me to a website, which I thought was pretty cool. It was on jiu-jitsu, which is like a karate or a, you know. And they gave me three submission techniques. So, ladies, I thought I'd just end off by quickly showing you these. These are the three submissions. This is all that you need to know. The first is called the armbar. And all you need to do is you need to hook right in there. And if possible, trip him up at the same time. I find that one a little bit more difficult because you can't catch him unaware. The second one is the triangle choke. This is the, you've just got to, can you hold that for me, love? Hold it for me so I can talk and use, I need two hands. This is the triangle choke, and you just got to make sure that your thumbs form a perfect triangle just over there. And then you just, this last one is my favorite, and I still,
God, where's this
it's
going?
Called the naked rear choke.
Leave that one.
This is a little bit more gentle, and you just come gently behind him and pretend you're loving him, and then just push him really hard. But ladies, the websites that say that you need to continue to practice this all of the time until you can execute properly. So I just thought I'd end with that. I love it.
Thank you. Jeez. I'm an abused husband. Thank you, love. That's the woman's perspective. Now, guys, we get even, right? We don't get mad, we get even. We don't get mad. So there's a whole lot. It starts off in Lisha's section about submitting to one another, and then she talks about the wives first. And then we get on to the guys. And have you seen how much stuff there is for the guys, right? So we have a lot to work on and a lot to do. But I want to focus on the first thing. There's a lot there, and I won't read it just in the interest of time. The first part of it is, husbands, love your wives. Any questions? Can I go? Husbands, you are called to love your wife. Wives, submit to your husband. Beautiful story. Husbands, love your wives. Simply, love your wives. You don't need to go to the bookstore, come books or other bookstores and buy books, DVDs, podcasts, brochures on marriage and how to and what to. What should you be doing, guys? Love your wife. Love your wife. Lish was talking about the biblical, excuse me, and God hasn't got any bad desires, intentions for us in our lives. He's saying, love your wife. When you read about these things, don't forget about loving your wife, that it includes love, friendship, humility, good-heartedness, all the gifts of the Spirit that come with, that make form part of this love. So, Bruce, practically, how do you do this? Let's look at the Bible. Let's look at our role model and mentor. His name was Jesus on the cross. What did he do? He sacrificed himself. So how can we guys sacrifice ourselves to a point where we are like Christ, where we lay down, where we die to the things that might be of importance to us? And Lisha and I are on that journey where I'm learning to sacrifice things. Before she came into my life, those that know an Enneagram type 7 personality, if any other 7s, Heather, I know you're a 7, we're busybodied. We've been called monkey-minded. We do everything all at the same time because that's the way God has made us. And me learning how to sacrifice is to give up some of those things and sacrifice for my wife. Not because, and sometimes it's not easy. We had a rather disastrous dinner 2 nights ago where this, one of the things that I'm busy sacrificing in my life is I fly airplanes, and I'm giving that up because it's taking away too much time from me, my family, my wife, my church. There's commitments. We're on eldership. There's things that I've got to change. I've got to make a sacrifice. So my challenge to you guys is where, like Jesus, and I'm not making an assimilation by any means. I'm saying, what is there in your life that you have sacrificed or that you could sacrifice for your wife? To spend more time and quality time with her. And I heard someone jocularly say, well, you know, when God made woman, he took a rib out of our side and he made woman, and, you know, she says, I got a bone to pick with you now, or something like that, you know. So I've given something, I've sacrificed something. No, guys, that doesn't quite work. But yes, you might have a bone to pick with you if you don't. Secondly is, Jesus' love for us was unconditional. Jesus on the cross did not say, if you are a good person, if you tithe, if you do your daily devotions and unpack that story, I will love you. He didn't say that. He loved us unconditionally. Similarly, for you and your wife, it's not if you cook me a meal, it's not if you laugh at my jokes, it's not if you make me feel good that I'm going to love you. I'm going to unconditionally love you like Jesus did Period. Period. Lock, stock, and two smoking barrels, done. Take it as writ. Love your wife sacrificially and unconditionally. And I guarantee you one thing. There isn't one woman in the world that would not love you back because you're dying to yourself and you are loving her unconditionally. Imagine that. I guarantee all the single folk. There's not one woman. There's a story of a man lying in hospital on his deathbed, and he was just reminiscing about, my wife, you've been with me through thick and thin, when I lost my job, when somebody died, when the cat died, or, you know, and he was just laying on, you've been with me through thick and thin, ups and downs in life, financial woes and troubles, and he said, I come to the conclusion, you've been such bad luck for me. that was a bit of a tongue twister. You're not bad luck for me, mother. We have our ups and downs, and it's not all bad luck. What's putting us together? So we're going to talk a bit about Abram, Sarah. This is the model couple in Scripture. Why do I say it's the model couple in Scripture? Because this is where our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, comes from. His parents, forefathers, right? Let's see what they did. God comes to Abram and says, I'm going to make you, Father Abraham, had many sons. You know the story, right? And the dude was getting to 90s, 94. And his wife comes to him and says, Angus, nothing. We have no children. You getting on in years? I'm getting on in years. Where is the promise? I've got a plan, she says. My plan is go and take my maidservant. Her name is Hagar. Go and have relations with Hagar. And the child or children that are born, we will call our own. I will make it mine. Abram says, sex with another woman? Yeah, okay, let's go and do this thing, maybe. I don't know what he was thinking. But it had to be a good thing, right? Your wife is... Maybe say nothing else. The King James Version said, he hearkened to his wife's voice. And the rest, they say, is history. What happened? He said, sure. She said, go. And along came a problem. And Ishmael was birthed. And Ishmael was born. Middle East today, all the pains and the suffering that's happening in the world. Why? Not just that. I mean, what is the problem in this marriage? He listened to his wife? Well, if you think so, you're missing the point. The point is that God had spoken into their lives. God had spoken to Abram. God had spoken to Sarah. And he made them a promise. He made them a covenant. Not a contract, a covenant. It reminds me very quickly of a story. As a marriage officer, I've done quite a few marriages. And the more recent marriage that I did was a couple. I said, okay, well, we're going to get married. We had them around for dinner. And what would you like me to speak about? Any topic? He said, Bruce, you can talk about anything, but just not that submission thing. We're submitting to God, first and foremost. We are submitting to God. And if you make a decision outside of the will of God, you're going to birth an Ishmael in your life. How do we do that, guys? How do you love and lead your wife? Stay connected to God. The next part of this is, how do we do that? And this is the tricky part for me, the hard part for me. Here's the scripture. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Guys, your wife's not perfect. Neither are you. When was the last time you prayed for her? When was the last time you prayed with her? When was the last time you washed her with the word? Love your wives. Wash her with the word. You want a biblical approach to submission? Wife, submit to your husband. Love your wife and wash her with the word. How are you doing in that department? You know what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 11? It says, man is the image and the glory of God. The woman is the glory of man. Guys, another King James version. You might say, my wife stinketh. She smells a little. And I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually, right? Please get that clear. Okay, she's off on her way. She's like a Sarah. She's making me do wacky things. She's got crazy thoughts and stuff. When last did you wash her with the word? When last did you pray for her? Practically, your wife stinketh? Whose fault is it, guys? Yours. Fivefold ministry. Right there. Here's what you can do. In John, we read about Jesus doing his first miracle. Where did he do his first miracle? At a wedding. And that's probably where most miracles seem to happen, right? Because that's the start of a lot of stuff right there. But what did he do? They ran, you know the story, they ran out of wine. And Jesus commanded them or told them to bring their pots, filled them with water, and prayed with them, prayed on them, laid hands on them, and what happened? Turned them into the best wine. And the scripture tells us that they said, Father, or Jesus, or Maestro, you're keeping the best for last. Normally, they'd give all the good stuff up front, you know, so that you can show off a little, as we like to do, right? Put the best stuff there, and when they get a bit plonkers, you bring out the plonk, and everything's fine. No, what did Jesus do? He bought the best later. And this is an encouragement for us. In our lives, guys, I'm talking to the guys, us, you are a vessel. Fill up your vessel with water. Fill up your vessel with water. Then take your stuff and serve your wife. How does your water turn into wine? The wine of life? Praying, communing, spiritual disciplines, all those kind of good things. Washing your wife. And in that analogy, bring your best always to your wife and to your marriage. You see a lot of stuff on social media about, and in the books about self-esteem. Oh, I've got a low self-esteem. I haven't heard the biggest load of hogwash in my life. Why? You think people have got a self-esteem problem? You take a picture and you get shown a picture. Who's the first person you look for in the picture? Yourself, myself, me. Why? You love yourself. You're going to go out, what do? You dress, you iron your clothes, you do your hair, you love yourself. Here's the scripture. It says, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord did the church. And Alicia was talking about the cherishing of yourself. We don't have a self-esteem problem, guys. We all love each other. We all need to feed and nourish our bodies to stay alive, and we all have images about ourselves. But what is the scripture saying? Nourish your wife as you nourish yourself. Does that make sense? Next one. Verse 31. We're going through all those multiple scriptures that had up on the screen. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So, what is the key takeaway from this scripture here? For this reason, a man shall leave. Guys, it says leave. Leave, cleave, and become one new flesh, as the Bible tells us. When you leave, you are to leave properly. Young guys, leave home. Leave and prepare yourself for you becoming, cleaving and becoming one with your wife. How do you do that? Go and get a job. Move out of home. Go and prepare yourself. And I read a lovely analogy about a truck. Drives best when it's got a load on it. So young guys, all the young punks out here that are getting ready for, roll your eyebrows, that are getting ready for marriage, load your trucks. Load your trucks with self-discipline. Load your trucks with a job. Load your trucks with the right heart. Load your trucks with love. Load your trucks so that the burden is good, because that's the best way that a truck stays on the road when it is laden. Prepare yourself in your life. Load yourself so that when you hit the tar road, when you get married, you have got a full load of the right stuff and going in the right direction. Guys, it says leave your father and your mother. Move out of home. Leave. Also, leave friendships, especially of the opposite sex. A killer today in many male relationships today is when you are still hanging on to friendships and you haven't left properly. You know, in weddings and churches, when you do a wedding ceremony, what do? Two candles become one and you blow out the old. You leave. Guys, my encouragement and my challenge to you today is those that are holding on to stuff and have not left well, leave. Especially in Timothy, it talks about leaving other people. It's so bad, so encouragement that it says, should your wife have a question, that she should come and ask you, you will get the answer and come and give the answer back to her. That's what Timothy's advice is to us. From a woman's perspective, you need to leave well. Biggest challenge today, you know those sneaky little vines and the sneaky little foxes that we keep talking about that creep into people's marriages when you haven't left properly. Then it says, go and cleave. Cleave to your partner. Cleave to your wife. None others. Because here's the problem. If you're cleaving to somebody else still, Scripture says you cannot serve two masters. You're going to upset the one and love on the other. And God forbid that's your wife. And I've got a bone to pick with her because there's some, you know, somebody else in my life, right? And I'm going to find fault with her all the time. Why? Because I've got two masters. My eyes are devious. I'm looking elsewhere. I'm going to say horrible things. Has her hair done? Oh, your hair's too short. Or your hair's too long. Or nitpicking, you know, all those kind of things. You're cleaving to the wrong things in life. So, and this scripture's here, guys. The scripture's here. Leave, cleave, and become one with your wife. My challenge to the guys, I'm speaking to the guys. Just a little bit of advice. Then lastly, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Submission 101 from Ephesians 5, verse 22 to verse 33. There it is, in a nutshell. Marriages, relationships, weddings. Takeaway number one, ladies, submit to your husbands. Number two, husbands, love your wives. Simple, effective, biblical, God's heart for you and God's heart for marriages. And I love this. There's a saying, I'm not sure where it comes from. It says, in the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. And what that talks to me is, stuff's going to arise in your marriages. Stuff's going to arise in conversation. You're going to have heated conversations like we've had for the last week around prep and things that have been triggered and all those kind of things. But there's categories, and I'm not wanting to oversimplify it. I'm just saying in the key things, in those things in life where you hang on for dear life, like you're hanging on to a rock face to save your life, marriage is one of those. In those things, let there be unity between the two of you. Agree what that looks like. Bring God into the mix. Love your wives. Submit, wives. Hang on to that for dear life. In the other stuff, like cars with fancy bumper kits that you keep crashing into other friends' cars. Into those kind of things, those non-essential things in life. Where do we stay? What school do we go to? You know, all those kind of things. What does it say? Liberty, freedom, choose. It's not an essential in life. And all other things, charity. And that's a nice, just a nice phrase or a nice categorization for me. I just wanted to say in closing, from a male perspective, you know that on Friday, I think it was, we've lost Prince Philip. He was 99 years old. He was married to the Queen for 74 years. What an act of sacrifice and submission from a man to a woman. His wife is the queen. Did that make him insignificant? Definitely not. Did it make him a good husband? Amen. Why? Because he sacrificially submitted to her, loved her, supported her. He even dressed up as a god once. I don't know if you've seen those pictures going around, just to play a prank on her, you know, where he was one of the gods. He came walking past. Hi, love. Sorry, I don't know. A great example of mutual submission and how it doesn't take away from who you are in the slightest. In the slightest. He was her king. She was her queen. He submitted, she submitted, and what a beautiful story. I don't know all the backstories, and maybe there's people with issues around them. I don't know, but I'm just from my heart saying, wow, it can be done. 74 years, I take my hat off to you, sir. Rest in peace. Submission is a reality. There's no neutral ground here, and I'm going to close. I had a few things more to say. Just take courage. Take courage in this submission thing, because whilst you might feel alone in taking a stance on submission, you're not getting the mutual support, the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. And with Him in the detail, with His guidance and His scriptures, we can but fail forward. We love you. Thank you. We love marriages. We're on a journey, Lisha and I, not on our marriage, but we have a history of marriages prior. We've got a history of blended families, and we feel very strongly that we're on a journey and admission, on a mission, on a submission to God's mission for us. We submit, King Jesus, Father God, to you entirely. Empty ourselves of our pots, fill us up with holy water, and turn us into wine that we can be blessing and joyous. And may your marriages be that. May you as individuals be that to your husbands, to your wives, and to your families. And remember, there's a hierarchy here. God, partner, families. And so we go down. This message today is for Christian submission. I'll leave it there.